was going to have the meeting, and Dr. Harding got up and said, "This is what we're not going to do." And it was like, "Then why are we here?" We wasn't supposed to say anything bad to the senators or congressmen. We wasn't supposed to tell them what we would like them to do. We wasn't supposed to do any of that. Capital Connection is about to educate, to encourage, to engage, to entreat, and to evangelize. Amen. It wasn't to tear down or gripe or complain about anything to the congressman. So Pastor Young kept talking about we got to give out 27 books. I was going, "Well, what's all that about?" And I didn't understand it, but every congressman and every senator got one of these books. They give a different book out every year. And this was this is The Christian Life and Character of the Civil Institutions of the United States, Volume 1. It was written in 1800 and something. And every congressman, every senator got one, and this is the church. They gave us one too. So that was awesome. But you're walking around with these satchels with that book in it, with eight New Testaments and a whole bunch of those tracts. And each congressman gets one. We gave away, the New York delegates gave away 27 books. So everybody's got two or three books that they're carrying. And we're going to all these different buildings, going to the congressman or senator's office. We go in. Most of the congressmen, most of the senators are not there. But you go into the office and you say, "Hey, we're so and so. We're with Capital Connection. We're here to talk to just to give the congressman present the congressman a gift." So you present the congressman with that, or the staff person there. "We're here to give away these gospels. New Testaments and these gospel tracts. And is there anything that the congressman or woman would like for us to pray for? Or is there any people in the staff that we would, you know, that needs prayer?" And so you would pray with them. And at first I thought, well, this is going to be, you know, kind of a dud. But it wasn't. Because, see, most people would say, "You don't want anything? You're not asking the congresswoman or congressman for anything. You're here to pray for them." And even in the Democratic offices, it was like a breath of fresh air. They said, "Well, we can't believe this." And we went to our congressman in this district is Congressman Tom Reed. And on his book is a gold plaque that says, "Dedicated to Congressman Tom Reed by the Good Samaritan Baptist Church, Dresden, New York." So that was awesome. Didn't get to speak with him, but got to pray with his staff members and stuff, and that was awesome. We was in a Democratic congressman office, and they didn't have anything for us to pray for. I mean, nothing. They was watching CNN, and they said, "We don't have anything." Somebody in the other outer office came in and said, "Yeah, I heard you speaking, and I would like you to pray for somebody. My best friend just lost his grandfather. Would you pray for him and his family?" So that was awesome. Pastor Young's congressman is Cato, Congressman Cato. He's up at the game dinner every year. He's coming up for re-election, and he had a meeting set with him. We're in the Sam Rayburn building giving away the book to Tom Reed, and we get a call. Pastor Young gets a call that says the Congressman Cato can't make it to the meeting this morning, but come by and give the book away and everything. So we're supposed to meet up. We split up, so we're supposed to meet these other guys before we go in the office. And we're there early, and we're waiting on the other guys to catch up with us. And we almost go in the office, and Pastor Young goes, "No, we're going to wait on them." So we wait there for a while, and finally they show up, and we go into the office. And Pastor Young goes through all the stuff, and he gets to the part where, "Is there anybody, anything that we need to pray about for Congressman Cato?" And the lady says, "Excuse me." And she excuses herself. She walks around and goes in another office. And about the time the door opens up of that office, and Congressman Cato goes, "Brother Young, how you doing?" And he goes, "What's going on?" He goes, "Well, my mother died this morning." So he goes, "Come in." So we go into his office and we all pray for him and his family. And he keeps on saying, "I can't believe the timing. I can't believe the timing." Because, see, he wasn't supposed to be in that office, and we was there at the right place at the right time. If we'd have came in earlier, we'd have missed him. If we came in later, we'd have missed him. And it was just an awesome thing. Another awesome thing was they wasn't 1,500 preachers there. In fact, there was less preachers there this year than every year. But they was all 50 states represented. I'm not sure of the number. I think there was 500 something pastors there. But when we had our meeting Monday night, it was awesome. I mean, the Holy Spirit was there. Our speaker of that night was Brother Sexton. He's been preaching for 51 years. And he gave a great message. If y'all want to get it on Capital Connection, Awake America, and watch it online, I would watch all of them. It was awesome. In his message, he gave a story. And a story of revival. The meetings there was about, the theme was on revival. And most people will say that America can't have revival now. In fact, Lester Roloff in the 70s used to preach, "Has America gone too far?" And that was in the 70s. So as far as we've gone since then, how bad it is. But the theme was on revival. There's been two great awakenings in America. There's also been two great world wars. So can we have another revival? Absolutely, we can. But everybody thinks we can't. Everybody thinks that we made God so mad at us that he won't save us. Can I tell you something? That's what everybody thought about me. That I was gone too far. That God couldn't save me. But God heard some people praying. And he saved me. And, I was one of those people that before the meeting that, you know what, I don't know if God can turn us around. But God can turn us around. Brother Sexton talked about two ladies in the Isle of Scotland. One of them was 82, one of them was 84. One of them was blind, the other one was humped over where she could hardly walk. And they didn't go to church. But those two ladies started praying for revival in their own home. In fact, they got the pastor of the local church to come in, and they talked with him, made sure he was a right man, a man of God, make sure that he was right before they started praying for revival. They started praying for revival, and some people started meeting at their houses to pray for revival. And there was a young boy that helped the pastor out. His name was Donald. And God did great things through Donald. He helped through the minister, and he helped through the programs of all the churches and stuff. And that all had revival, had great revival. The niece of the two women come to America to live. And she married this guy named Fred. And they had kids. And I can't remember all of it, but one of them's name was Donald. And they sent that Bible over to America with our niece. And that Bible that saw all that revival in Scotland is sitting at the Oval Office right now. That guy named Donald was Donald Trump. And Brother Sexton was, man, I'm doing it now. He was crying. And he said, "God's given us a window. And what we do with it, I don't know. And all I know is God can give revival." Ooh, stop it. And what surprised me most of all is that we would be delivering books throughout all the buildings and stuff, but they would have meetings set up for us to attend if we could. In different parts of the one time it was at the Library of Congress, and the other one it was in the Capitol. Thank you very much. In the Capitol building. The first one we went to was in the Capitol building, and I was astounded at how many people that was in the administration or how many people in the Congress that were saved. People were giving their testimonies and really preaching to us. And it was awesome. The first one I got to hear was from Texas. I thought that was awesome. And the second one that spoke to us was from Georgia. And he was a pastor at one time. He got up and preached. I mean, he said, "I got my Bible here. I'm preaching. What, did you come here thinking I was going to talk about politics? Let's have church." And so it was awesome. They did that for 2 days. They'd have different people come in and talk to us. And it was awesome. So there are people up there that love God. There's a lot of people up there that don't love God. There's a lot of spiritual wickedness there. So I come away from there with a different view of politics, because there's a remnant still there that love God and want to do right. And there's also a lot of people there that want to do wrong, that are there for the wrong reason. So I'd like to pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I pray you bless this time. I pray that you give me the words that you want me to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, I was in Matthew 19. I want to go there again today. Matthew 19. There are a lot of things that I learned down there. Kind of changed the way I think. We talked about God is able last Sunday, and you know what? God is able to do anything He wants to do. He's able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. But I want to start off where I left off. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said to him, "Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith to him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And Jesus said to him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." There's a lot of people that want to do right with God, but they lack one thing. This guy right here, he wanted to follow Jesus, but he had a lot of riches, and he didn't want to get rid of them. He thought that was what life was all about. You know what? There's a lot of people in this lifetime that think that it's what we have. In verse 24 it says, "How easy it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." That would seem impossible. I saw a picture a while ago when you're going through the pictures of Israel. There's a herd of camel out there. And think about the eye of a needle and a camel passing through it. It's impossible. It can't be done. And that's exactly where we think about America, that we can't have revival. We'll never get back to God. It can't be done. But can I tell you something? God can put a camel through the eye of a needle. He's able to do that. Whether he does it or not, I don't know, but he's able. You see, in verse 26, it says, "But with God." You see, just like we were talking about last Sunday, you know, we can think of manly our thoughts are towards what man can do instead of our thoughts being towards what God can do. I don't know if you can think about this, but God spoke this world into existence. And if He could speak this world into existence, He could speak anything. He could do anything. He is God. He's not man. Every revival was started with prayer. The third speaker there on Wednesday night was Johnny Pope. Johnny Pope used to come to the village. And it was kind of strange. We Wednesday, after we got through delivering all of our books, we went a little sightseeing because me and the other guy that was with Pastor Young had never been to Washington before. So Brother Young took us around Washington for a while. And we was walking along, and I said, Pastor Young, you ever heard of a guy named Johnny Pope? He goes, I went to Hiles Anderson with him. In fact, he was one of my instructors. Me and him used to play tennis. And he goes, oh, by the way, he's speaking tonight. I said, wow, ain't that crazy? So we get there, and Johnny Pope starts talking about prayer. Isn't it strange that if you look back at the great awakenings of this country, it was all started with prayer? People getting together and praying. It wasn't like we think. It wasn't like that somebody became president and changed all this, that we wasn't going to kill babies anymore, that we wasn't going to sanction gay marriage, that we was going to get back to stuff. No, it all started with prayer. So can we have another greater awakening? Can we have revival? Absolutely. And it all starts with prayer. You see, God doesn't do anything except for to answer prayer. If you don't have anything, it's because you haven't prayed for it. Or you prayed for it and you asked amiss. That's in James. But revival starts with prayer. It also starts with an individual. In Luke 7, don't turn to this. In Luke 17, 20 and 21, it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, within you means in the midst. That's what he was talking about. The kingdom of God's right here. I'm Jesus. I am the kingdom of God. I am God. The kingdom of God's right here with you. If you'll notice in his earthly ministry, if he was coming around a sick person, they was healed. There's no sick people in heaven. If there's no blind people in heaven, there's no deaf people in heaven. You see, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God was right there with them. It was right in their midst. And I want to tell you something. If you're saved, you have the kingdom of God within you.
Amen.
You have the Holy Spirit. That's why going to those meetings is so awesome, because that Holy Spirit is built up when you have all the people that are saved in the same room. The Spirit of God was awesome in that thing. When Brother Sexton got through speaking, of the 500 and something pastors that was there, plus their families and all the people that they brought from the church, most of the seats was empty at the altar. That was an awesome, all three meetings was awesome, but that was an awesome meeting. Did you know that God loves us? That He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins? That He's long-suffering? That we should be saved? He was very long-suffering for me. I didn't get saved until I was 40 years old. People thought that I was too far gone. The person I thought was praying for me said after I got saved, said, Tracy, I gave up on you. I didn't think God was ever going to save you. So I quit praying for you. Hey, is that how our attitude with America? Have we said, God can't save us, so we're not even going to pray for it anymore? I think that is true.
Yeah.
I think that we've decided that God can't do it. God's mad at us. God is mad at us. But God still loves us.
Amen.
Revival always started with prayer, and it always started with God's people. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 7, please. 2 Chronicles 7. (Clears throat) Verse 14. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. That doesn't say that if Washington changes, if we get some people in Washington to do right, it doesn't say if the pastor of the church starts doing right, it doesn't say anything about that. It says, if my people, if the people of God, it doesn't say if the people of God will pray for Washington to get right. It doesn't say if the people of God will seek my face and get everybody else right. It says if they get themselves right. It says if they humble themselves, if they turn from their wicked ways. Wait a minute. It says my people. It says the saved. It says Christians. How would Christians turn from their evil ways? Them, if they humble and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, will I forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, to me, that verse right there means that if God's people get right, if God's people get right, not if the wicked get right. Do you know why that we've killed 60 million babies in this country? Because God's people sat on their hands. You know what? It's encouraging to see there's a lot of people up there that are saved, that are serving in the Congress. But what if everybody in the Congress was saved and serving? We elected George W. Bush. We elected a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican President. But we didn't change anything about abortion. We didn't change anything about homosexuals and all these rights that they say they have and everything. We didn't change any of that. We had a chance to, but we didn't. So, if God's people get right with me, if God's people get right with me, and they pray, and they seek my face, and they turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. So can God bring another great awakening? Can He bring revival? Absolutely. Brother Sexton was talking about the men of God that he knew that prayed for revival, that great men of God that served their whole life for God, they never saw revival. Prayed for it all the time, begged God to send them revival, but never saw it. We have a window. Do you know what? A window ain't very big. But you could do a lot of things through a window if you do right. God could bring a camel through the eye of a needle. He could bring revival through one of these windows. You would turn to Nehemiah 13. I didn't load this one. Y'all all know the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one person. Nehemiah heard about the news of how Jerusalem was, and Nehemiah cried. Nehemiah fell down on his knees and he begged God to do something about it. Nehemiah was one person. And you know that when Nehemiah got right with God, in 52 days the wall was built. In 52 days the wall was built. Not because a nation turned back to God, not because Washington turned back to God, but because one man turned back to God. One man fell down on his knees and begged God to do something. One man fell down on his knees and said, I will do whatever you want me to do, but let's get this straight. Nehemiah 13 verse 1, it says, on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Amorite and the Moabite should not come in the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. If you look around this country today, you'll understand that we're probably in a curse. In fact, the Bible says that if you teach anybody to do wrong, that nation's cursed. We're teaching people in school about homosexuality, about being transgender. We're teaching people that it's okay to do that, and it's wrong to hate people like that. First of all, Christians are not haters. If you tell somebody that they're dying and going to hell, it's not because you hate them, it's because you love them and you don't want them to go to hell. If somebody is fixing to touch something that's hot, like a stove, and burn their hand, and you told them not to touch it, you're going to get burnt. You're not hating them. You're loving them. And we have so much abomination in this country that it's sickening. I mean, any common sense would tell you that that's wrong. And we could teach kids about that in our high schools, in our elementary schools. We could teach kids about Allah, but we can't teach kids about Jesus. We can't pray in our schools unless the school gets shot up. And then we could pray after that. You see, we kick God out of our schools. We kick God out of all of our lives, out of government, everything. All God wants to do is find somebody that's going to stand in the gap. All He wants to do is find somebody that's really going to pray for this country. That's going to say, God, bring revival. God, bring a great awakening back to this country. See, I always thought that it was supposed to be a great awakening. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles that, no, it's supposed to be a revival when my people by my name get right. So we need to get right. I'm so encouraged that there's people that are saved in Congress, and they're trying to do right. They're trying to get this country back to right, to do the right thing. But they're a remnant. So we need to start praying for people of faith to start doing things in our government, in our schools. You know, this sounds bad, but that little, them 17 people that got killed down there in Florida, as bad as it is, that's a little scratch. We're bleeding from our throat. We've got kids that are dying of ODing every day. And it's more than, it's like 14 in Buffalo every week are dying of overdoses. And that's just Buffalo alone. I don't see the liberal press jumping up and screaming and hollering about the 14 people that are dying in Buffalo every week of overdoses. Because, see, it ain't politically correct. It don't go with their agenda. It's all about guns. In fact, while we was there, the kids were out of school and they was all marching. And Brother Young told this one guy that was with us, don't say anything. I know how you are. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And all these kids are walking by us and they're shouting and stuff. Save the kids. Save the kids. And I told Pastor Young after left, I said, I am all for that. Let's save the kids. Let's put God back into school. Let's start teaching these kids about God. Let's save them. Let's get them saved. Let's get them in heaven. You know, it's strange. What if that boy that shot all them people, what if somebody would have witnessed to him and he got saved and the love of Christ would have been in him and he wouldn't have been hating anymore and he wouldn't have shot anybody? It's very simple, but we make it hard. God turned the curse into a blessing. There's a lot of people that like to curse this nation. There's a lot of people in government right now that would love to start a civil war again. If you would, I don't know why, but Reverend Farrakhan is starting to rise in power again. I mean, the pot's being stirred. And it's kill the white people, kill the white people. The white people have done this to us. The white people deserve to die and all this other stuff. Well, God says that all people deserve to live. That all people are supposed to come to the knowledge of Him. All people are supposed to be saved. All people are supposed to be free. And they're spewing hate. And hate's not of God. God is love.
Yeah.
So can the Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? God's looking for somebody to say, hey, I want to seek God. I want to do what God wants us to do. I want God to bless this nation once again. God blessed it once, he could bless it again. Now, is all the things that I said about Washington and this country true? Absolutely. But how, we're not going to stop that just like that. Only God could save somebody. You know what? I thank God that somebody still prayed for me. That way I did get saved. Even when some people gave up on me. Now, a lot of people's given up on America. And I want to tell you something. I could read the book and I could see that the time is short. But God can still do it. I'm so glad that somebody didn't give up on me. That somebody kept praying for me. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to get our act together. If we want to see revival, it has to come in our heart first. You can't give something away you haven't got. So revival starts with us as an individual. Or are we going to get right with God? Or are we going to seek His face? Are we going to get our sin out of our lives? You know, the Bible says that our besetting sin keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. What do we lack? The rich man lacked things because he wanted to have all of his possessions. Well, we all know that when you die, you can't take anything with you. So, is the world, is happiness, being in this world, is that what makes us happy? We talked about Billy Graham living a modest life. I remember hearing one thing that his wife says, that we didn't want a lot of things. There's a lot of people that we was ministering to who didn't have a lot of things. It's not about things. It's not about this world. It's about pleasing God with our lives. We can't please God with sin in our lives. So we've got to get our sin out before we can be a vessel of revival. We've got to be looking for Him and seeking His face. You know, Johnny Pope said, we're talking about prayer. And he said, there was two men in my life that really influenced my Christian life. And one of them I don't remember. I never heard of him before. And the other one was W.A. Criswell. When he said that, my ears went, and I started listening. W.A. Criswell was I've told y'all the story. W.A. Criswell was pastor at the First Baptist Church of Dallas for many years. Started a KCBI Christian radio station. That was the station I was listening to when I got saved. He wouldn't get up out of bed before noon. I was going, hey, I like this guy. But it wasn't because he was sleeping. Because he was in prayer. He was out of bed. He was just in his pajamas. He was praying. Every great man of God that you read about had a great prayer life. That they was on their hands and knees and they was asking God to intervene. Maybe in their church, maybe in somebody's lives, maybe in the nation, but they was praying. David Gibbs said this up there at Pastor Young's church. He said, how much are you praying for this country? Are you praying? Are you on your knees more praying for this country more than you are watching Fox News? And I got to thinking, no. He said, do you really want this country to change? And pray for this country, because one day you're going to be praying for it and it's going to be too late. We have a window. So what are we going to do with that window? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. But are we going to do something about that? Revival starts with you as an individual. Praying, seeking God, and getting whatever sin in your life out. So God can use it. Wouldn't it be great if this community would start filling this church up? Wouldn't it be great? Well, what are we doing about it? You know, I live right here. What am I doing about it? Am I going to knocking on doors every week and talking to people? Am I really evangelizing? Am I out entreating, encouraging people? Because, see, that's our job. It's also our job to pray for our neighbors. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, yet we walk by them every day and they're hungry and they're thirsting and we don't do anything about it. We're just like the priest and the Levite in that story. This is the Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We're supposed to be Good Samaritans. We're supposed to be looking out for our neighbors. We're supposed to be out encouraging people. We're supposed to be evangelizing. Yet we just want to sit around and gripe because nothing's happening. I'm talking to myself. Well, see, we're supposed to go out and do something. God wants to live His life through us. So are we doing that? Can revival happen in this community?
Yes.
It's got to happen in us first. Are we getting out and we're talking to people? Are we really concerned about other people going to hell, heaven or hell? You see, God wants to see somebody really shut up and act. God wants somebody to really get after His heart. David was a man after God's own heart. You see, that's what we need to be if we want to see revival in our lives. That's what we need to be if we want to see revival in this community. And that's what we need to be if we want to see revival in this country. We need to start praying for our leaders. Why? Because we want them to make the decision God wants them to make so this country can be blessed again. You know what? God turned to Nebuchadnezzar into a man after His own heart. He used so many people in the Bible, so many kings in the Bible, to help the Israelites. He could use our president. He could use our senators. Even as wicked as some of them are, He could use them to do right. He could use them to vote for a bill that's going to be good for Christians. And all we have to do is pray. If we would entreat God for our neighbors, for our community, for our families, and for our country, God is able. God is able. Can God find anybody in this church that can start a revival? It all starts with you. It all starts with me. It all starts with each and every one of us. Are we going to get right with God? Are we going to get rid of that besetting sin that so does easily beset us? Are we going to get our sin out of our lives? Are we going to get right with God? Are we going to seek His face? Are we going to pray every day? If we're going to do that, then we'll get to see a revival. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. So, what's it going to take? It's going to take me to get right with God. It's going to take me to start seeking His face every day. It's going to get me to start doing what He wants us to do. It's going to get me to start praying. Those two women in Scotland that wanted to see revival, they saw revival. It's so astounding that Bible's in the Oval Office right now. God's given us a window. Are we going to do something with it? Or are we just going to gripe and point fingers at everybody else saying, well, look, they ain't doing anything. You see, it's up to us. I pray, Lord, that Lord, You would send revival in our hearts. That, Lord, that we would get right with You. That we would seek Your face. The Bible says, those that seek Me early shall find Me. Lord, I pray that we would seek You. That we would find You, and we would hear what You want us to do, and that we'd be obedient to it. Lord, that we would see a great awakening. We see revival in Your people, and we see a great awakening in this country. Lord, that You would revive us again. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's anything in our lives that are keeping us from seeing revival, Lord, that You get it out. Lord, that You make us a clean vessel. And Lord, that we would really understand that it's up to us to evangelize. It's up to us to get the word out. It's up to us to do right. And I pray, Lord, that You would hear our cry and answer our prayer, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Let's stand for meditation. Praise the Lord. You needn't sing during invitation, but you need to pray. And let's just pray. If nothing's set in your lap during that message, then you probably need to clean your lap out. There's things there that oughtn't to be there. Let's just go ahead and spend the time in prayer. If you want to come to an altar, go ahead and do that. Let's just have an invitation of prayer. Father, we do praise you and thank you for what we've seen and heard here today. We thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your word. Thank you again, Father, for your hand on each life that's in this service. Touch now. Cause again, Father, that you turn us. Cause again, Father, that you'd hear each prayer that's been whispered to you in the service now, especially those in our invitation. And Father, that you'd tug on our hearts anew and afresh. We'll give you all the praise. Thank you for this week that we've begun now in worship of your Son. And ask again, Father, that you'd go with each one that's here in a special way, in a special presence, a special awareness, Father, of your great love for us and our indebtedness to you. Father, that we could call you Lord and that we could come and follow you. We'll praise you now and thank you for your touch on lives. Bring us back at the appointed time and we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it now. Amen, amen. All right, Lord bless you for being in church today. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock, Wednesday again at 7 o'clock. And the greatest meetings we can have at Good Samaritan Baptist Church are prayer meetings again. And appreciate that message very much a little more. All right, let's dismiss. Praise the Lord. Thank you.